Next Wednesday night, a week from tonight, we'll have the children's Christmas program. And this night, and as I prayed and meditated, it seemed good to the Lord that I turned to a familiar passage of Scripture. In fact, I'm out of two of them concerning our Lord. First one is in Isaiah chapter 7. Stories associated with the Christmas season, so-called, by so many people, but the very, very rich study. Begin with the 10th verse of the 7th chapter. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. And Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? How will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. That verse of Scripture has to do prophecy concerning the virgin birth of our Lord. Much discussion rages around the word translated virgin. The Hebrew word being Alma, sufficient for me is evidence found in the fact that when the Septuagint translation was made of the Scripture, about 200 years B.C., translation of the Hebrew into Greek, translation that was made in Alexandria, Egypt. And when these Hebrew scholars, 200 years before Christ, 200 years before the question raised concerning the virgin birth, when they translated the word Alma into the Greek, they used a word in the Greek that never meant and was never used in any other sense than that of a virgin. That word is Parthenos, from which we get the word Parthenon. Then when we read in the New Testament references to the virgin birth, the writers of the New Testament used the word Parthenos, which never is used for anything other than that of a virgin. Now, the Lord had told the people, Ahaz in particular, to ask for a sign. Ahaz gets very religious and hyper-pious and says, Oh no, I don't want a sign. We read in the New Testament that the just shall live by faith. We read also that it's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh a sign. And so he says he will not have a sign. I find individuals today seeking all kinds of signs as evidence of the favor of the Lord. But in the day in which we live, we're told to seek not a sign, that the just shall live by faith. But the Lord rebukes Ahaz and says, I'm going to give you a sign. So the sign here in the 14th verse, behold, King James translation says a virgin. The Hebrew has the definite article there instead of the indefinite a. The Hebrew reads the virgin. The virgin. There's one. One virgin. That's all. Bring forth a son. Call his name Emmanuel. The difficulty individuals have accepting the virgin birth is the difficulty they have accepting the Word of God. Now, I had a college professor at a convention where I was ask me if one had to believe in the virgin birth to be saved. My reply was no, because little children who have no concept of the meaning of the virgin birth can believe on the Lord and be saved. But I added this, I don't believe one can deny the virgin birth and be saved. One who reaches an age where he understands the meaning of the virgin birth and deny it, and then be saved. Scripture is very plain that if thou confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, of course in confessing that is a confession of the virgin birth, the virgin life, and everything else. It's all in there. Whosoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God. I call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Once upon a time, I gave you three prepositions describing the relationship that the children of God had with God. In the Old Testament, the preposition referred to is the preposition for. God is for his people. If God be for us, we read in Romans, who can be against us? Well, God was for his people. He would be with them in a particular place, and then he'd be gone. He'd be with them in another place and be gone. He was for them. Now, when the child is born, his name is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christ born of the Virgin Mary here in the world for 30 or 33 and a half years, moved among the people and was with the people. God with us. Your preposition there is with. After the ascension of Christ and the descent of the Holy Spirit of God, we have the third preposition, and that one is in. God in us. And the moment an individual believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in them to abide forever. So when we speak of Emmanuel, God with us, we think immediately of the days in which the Lord lived here on the earth and walked and moved among and about with men. The Old Testament, God for us. The day of Christ's ministry on the earth, God with us. the ministry of God now through the Holy Spirit is God in us. All of that became a reality in us when Christ was born. Now the second scripture in this connection is the 9th chapter of Isaiah. And I love this particular passage, not above the rest of it, but this is one that is unusually beautiful and meaningful for me. I'm going to read from verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Oftentimes individuals look in the scripture for a description of our Lord. No better description of the Lord can be found than the one given here, which follows the names. In the Old Testament and in Bible days, names given individuals had a meaning, and it attached to the individual. Unto us a child is born. It won't be long till we come to this in our Sunday morning studies, but I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 4 for just a moment and show you the ecstasy produced when the first child was born. Thousands of years before this prophecy was given. It's the first verse of the 4th chapter. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. That's not the happy translation. Now, if your Bible is like mine, you can see the little letter C by the word from, and you look in your margin, and there it says, even Jehovah. Eve thought that the fulfillment of the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 was in this child that was born to her, and she cries out in joy, I have gotten a man, even Jehovah. That's what she said. The Lord God Almighty has come forth, was her thinking. We read in Daniel, or we read in Daniel a few Wednesday evenings back, concerning the Antichrist and his anti-God attitude, three descriptions given of him. He will not regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor any God. The desire of women placed between the God of his fathers and any God, which signifies that the desire of women was a God. And it has been said that the desire of every Jewish maid in the days before Christ was to be the vehicle chosen by God to bring the Messiah into the world. The desire of women. Now, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Jesus the Christ, this child that's born, is also the Son. Remember the great confession of the Apostle Peter. The Lord said unto him, "Whom do men say that I am?" The answer was, "Some say you're John the Baptist." That was Herod's thought. John the Baptist had been raised from the dead when he heard his teaching. Some say you're Elijah. Malachi speaks of Elijah coming before that great and dreadful day. Some say you're Jeremiah, one of the Maccabean books, speaks of Jeremiah coming before that great day. And the fourth estimate expressed by men was, "Thou art that prophet spoken of in the Old Testament that's coming before that day." All four had one thing in common, and that's as high as man, apart from God, can rise in his thinking. All four of them thought he was just a man. Just a man. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, the other prophet. But then the Lord turns to him and says, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter replied, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Unto us a Son is born, the Son of God." He's been the Son of God from eternity. God the Father has been God the Father from eternity. There's never been a moment when the Son of God did not exist. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Never a moment. Even in Mary's womb, he was the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. The Son of the living God. Then the scripture continues, "The government shall be upon his shoulder." That fact is recognized by men around the world. Recognition of that fact is seen in that they refuse to acknowledge that there is a God. To acknowledge that there is a God sovereign over all is to acknowledge their responsibility to that God, to acknowledge that the government is in his hands and on his shoulder. In a commission delivered by our Lord, the 28th chapter of Matthew, he says, "All authority, all power, all government is in my hand." All authority has been given to me. All. That's the reason Christians recognize the fact that civil governments are of God. All power, all authority is in the hands of the Lord. And he said, "Since I have that authority, as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe every commandment which I've given you." The government is on his shoulder. There is a vice regent under his dominion that governs the air, the heavens, the earth, the anointed cherub, the sin that failed, Satan. Now the government is on his shoulder. One day, he will assume full authority and exercise that government. His name shall be called Wonderful. Literally, miracle. His name shall be called a miracle. His preexistence was a miracle. Coexisted with God the Father from eternity. We read in John 1:1, in beginning was the Word. In beginning was the Word. In beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Way back there in that dateless eternity was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wonderful. His birth was a miracle. His life, a miracle. Someone has well said, I believe, that his virgin life was ample evidence of his virgin birth. His teaching was a miracle. See him at the age of 12 in the temple, discussing things with the doctors, confounding them with his questions and his answers. Later it was said of him by the populace, never a man spake like this before. I think of his miraculous voice, his miraculous word of that moment when the Roman legion, better than 500 SOS troops, so-called, or S troops of Germany, 500 like them, and then literally hundreds of mob that had gathered around them, came to where the Lord was. He said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He uttered one word in the Greek language, translated, I am. I am. And with the utterance of that word, the 500 soldiers fell on their backs. All of those who had come with him fell on their backs. Just the utterance of the one word. We read of a bomb exploding in the crowd and some 10 or 12 were killed and a few hundred wounded, but he just spoke the one word and hundreds of them fell on their back. His death was a miracle. Hanging there between the two thieves. Take time out to save one who said to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord, in agony on the cross, could turn and say, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Miraculous in his death. Death had no power over him. Death is the wages of sin. He had no sin. Therefore, he had no wages. Therefore, there was no death. He had said, no man taketh my life from me. No man can kill me. I lay it down myself, and if I lay it down myself, I will take it up again. And when the moment decreed, in the eternal council chambers of God, back in eternity, that he should die, he turned his face heavenward and said, Father, into thy hands I commend or commit my spirit. And with that he yielded up the ghost. Miraculous. Miraculous, wonderful in his death. Burial. Decomposition did not touch his body. Process of decay had no hold upon his body. Were his body still in the tomb today, it would still be in the same condition in which it was placed, because death could not enter. And his coming forth from the grave clothes, leaving them intact, was what convinced Peter that he had risen from the dead. Miraculous or wonderful in his ascension with the disciples on the mount out in Bethany with outstretched arms, while he blessed them, he began to ascend. Higher, 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 and soon the Shekinah glory came, enveloped him, and took him out of their sight and away. So shocked were they, so astonished, astounded, fascinated, that God Almighty sent two messengers from heaven in white to speak to them. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which you've seen go into heaven shall so come again in like manner as you've seen him go. His name shall be called Wonderful. Another name is Counselor. Counselor. Way back in the Old Testament, we had the young man Samuel being called by the Lord through the prophet Eli, or the priest Eli. Finally was told by the priest, the next time the Lord calls, ask him, what do you want? Tell him, here am I, what do you want? Counsel. The Apostle Paul, on his conversion on the road to Damascus, being told that this was Jesus, whose followers he had persecuted, said, what will thou have me to do, Lord? Tell me. Counsel with me. Tell me what to do. Counsel. You find the wise counsel of the Lord here in his word. He's also called the Mighty God. The Mighty God. Much confusion today in Christendom. And when I say Christendom, I distinguish that from Christianity. But much confusion as to the identity of this person called Jesus. How many there are claiming to be Christians who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny that he is God. Thomas, the doubter, went in the upper room after a previous absence, saw the Lord when he came into the room, and the Lord said unto him, Thomas, come here. Put your finger in these wounds. Put your hand in the wound in my side, and be believing and not doubting. And Thomas in that moment cried out, my Lord and my God. Now, in the 20th chapter of Acts, you may have this marked and you may not. It would be a good verse to mark because it's a powerful verse. So powerful that many pseudo scholars claim it shouldn't be in the Bible. Verse 28. The Apostle Paul, giving advice to the elders there in Ephesus, says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He, God, purchased with His own blood. It was the blood of God that was shed by Christ on Calvary's cross. And it's the blood of God by which we're saved. To feed the church of God, which He, God, hath purchased with His own blood. Now back to Isaiah. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, or literally, the Father of eternity. He manifests His deity and His Godhead by being the Father of eternity. From the beginning to the end, in which there is no beginning nor end, forever and ever and ever. When Moses asked the Lord, "Whom shall I say sent me?" when he got ready to go down into Egypt, and God Almighty said, "Tell them that I am sent you." With Him, there's no past, there's no future. It's one eternal present. I am. And He's the Father of eternity, the Prince of Peace. You know why there's no peace in the world today? You know why there can be no peace in the world today? Because of sin. There is no peace to the wicked. And where there's sin, there'll be no peace. There'll be no peace till He comes. And where every enemy is put underfoot, and then He rules and reigns in righteousness, then there will be peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Another very familiar passage of Scripture read so oft this time of the year, out of the Gospel of Luke. As the angel spoke to Mary, said, "Thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call His name Jesus, and He shall be great. And the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Of His kingdom there will be no end." That has a twofold application. As far as time is concerned, there's no end to it. As far as the increase of it, there's no end to that. Increases ever, ever and ever, forever and ever and ever. Of the increase of His government, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment. Justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. "I'll give you a sign," said the Lord. "The virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son, shall call His name Emmanuel, God with us." That's our study and our meditation for this evening. May the Lord bless you, watch over you and keep you, protect you during these days, rush activity. Lord, we thank Thee for these precious verses. Make them real to us. Bear them home to us. We ask in Christ's name now and for His sake. Amen.